Okay, welcome back for the spring semester. Our first item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. Oh, no. Add the item.
The chair moved to add a new item 7A, Subcommittee on Honors and Awards.
Okay. Report of the Subcommittee on Honors and Awards. That's not on the agenda. There is a handout up here. That'll be item 7A. Further amendments to the agenda?
Yeah, request that we add a Queens College Graduate Curriculum Committee item that's down here under 5B1.
Okay, we have 5B1, an addendum to the Graduate Curriculum Committee minutes. Are there any objections to the agenda as amended? All in favor? Opposed? None? Abstentions? None. Motion carries. Okay, so we have the approval of the agenda. The approval of the minutes of the last meeting, December 10th, 2015. Additions, deletions, comments? So moved. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Carries. Item number 3, we're going to start out with a memorial.
Sadly, as most of you know, our colleague and friend, Frank Franklin, the rector of our SEEK program, passed away on Sunday, February 7th. On behalf of Vice President Richard Alvarez of the Division of Enrollment Management, I'm here to share his remarks. I'm June Bob of AVP of Enrollment Management. Before I share Richard's words, I would like to say that I've known Frank Franklin a great many years, both in the SEEK program as a faculty member and as an administrator in the college. He was a man deeply concerned about the success of all students, as is evidenced in the words of Cheryl Williams, CUNY's Associate Dean of Special Programs, which were read at Frank's funeral this past Saturday. Dean Williams' words. Under Frank's guidance, SEEK soared, becoming one of the premier programs at CUNY. Queens SEEK can proudly boast how well their students achieve. Frank believed in his students, he supported his staff, and they flourished under his patient guidance. We've benefited from having him in our midst for so long. We will miss him sorely. And now, Richard's words. Frank was a member of the Queens College family for over 4 decades, most notably as the head of our SEEK program. As many of you know, SEEK is a wonderful program that recognizes the potential of students who may not have performed well in high school and have extreme financial need, but show that they have what it takes to succeed in college. The SEEK program offers our students the help they need, whether it be counseling, tutoring, or financial assistance, so that they can go out into the world and pursue their dreams. As a young man who spent some time working as a sharecropper and at first thought that a college degree was beyond his reach, Frank knew intimately the hopes and aspirations of the students he served in SEEK. There was no one better than Frank at reaching out to these young men and women and showing them that they too can succeed at anything they put their minds and hearts to, as he himself was living proof of this. How remarkable it was that when the United Negro College Fund honored Frank in 2007, his two fellow honorees were both former presidents of the United States, Presidents Clinton and George W. Bush. Frank was in very special company, as he so well deserved to be. Frank served Queens College for over 40 years, which is a good stretch of time, but we could have used him for another 40 years. He worked for things that he knew he would not see fulfilled during his lifetime, but these were the things that mattered most: equality and justice for all people. Although death almost always leaves us feeling diminished, there are occasions when it shows us how rich a life can be and how well someone can spend his brief time on earth. With Frank's passing, we feel a loss, but we also feel as if a standard has been set and we are being challenged to live a life as meaningful as the life he lived. He touched and altered the lives of thousands of students, and we will forever be grateful for his love and his kindness. Queens College may now be a poorer place because Frank is not with us, but we are all richer for having had the great pleasure of knowing him. Rest in peace, our friend. We miss you.
Can I ask everyone to please stand for a moment of silence? Please be seated. June, thank you very much for delivering those healing words. It's very difficult to say goodbye to someone you worked with for over 30 years. Next thing on the agenda will be announcements. Anyone who has announcements, please go to the microphone. I'd like to announce that we are now doing nominations for both faculty and students for Academic Senate and FSDC. Anyone who wants to run for next year's Senate or FSDC, both which start in May, please go to the Academic Senate homepage and you'll see a division for faculty and a division for students, and follow that accordingly.
Hi, I'm Catherine Profeta from Drama. Okay, Catherine Profeta from Drama, Theater, and Dance, and I'm here just to share a brief announcement that our spring theater production, Our Lady of 121st Street, opens tonight. It runs for 2 weeks, Thursday through Sunday. You can get exact days and times on the Kupferberg Center website, and I've been in rehearsals. It's an amazing production by a Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright, Stephen Adley Gerges, and it's a great ensemble piece that showcases the talents of a lot of our excellent students. So please come check it out.
Hi, I'm Grace McGee from NYPIRG. I'm a project coordinator for the New York Public Interest Research Group. We're a student advocacy organization on campus. So we've been going around to classrooms at recruiting students to come to Higher Education Action Day. So we do this every year. It's a trip to Albany. We go for the day. It's Thursday, February 25th, next week. And students get a chance to speak to their elected officials in groups and explain on a personal level why they need access to an affordable education. We are going with the USC, NYSA, the PSC, and UUP, so it is a combined effort. The deadline to register is today, so I just want to thank professors for allowing us to come into classrooms and recruit students. Anybody who still would like to sign up, all those unions are going. We are coming. We're leaving from campus the 25th in the morning. So if you'd like to sign up, still today is the deadline. Students also, you can come to me at the end of this meeting and sign up. Thank you.
Any further announcements? Okay, then we will turn to the guest speakers. Today we have two sets of guest speakers. The first three people presenting on Middle States will be Professors Gonzalez, Vickery, and Schwartz.
Thank you, Manny, for the opportunity to address the Senate again. We were here about a year ago to announce the beginning of the process to prepare our self-study for accreditation of the college. Middle States, as you may recall, accredits about 500 institutions, mostly in this geographic region, but also in the Caribbean and elsewhere in the world. And recently, the member institutions got together, representatives of these institutions, and developed new standards of excellence, which are fine standards. You'll hear about them in a moment. And Queens College was selected as one of 15 schools to pilot the new standards. So we're in the process of preparing our self-study. And after our previous presentation, many students and faculty and staff came forward and joined 8 working groups, which have now produced their first drafts on time. And so we're at a critical moment in the process, as you can see on the timeline. Here, February is the month where we ask the campus to give us feedback on these reports. They're very interesting to read. They describe various ways in which we meet the standards, but also immediate actions that can be taken, recommendations for the future. And we depend on your feedback to tell us what's missing, what additional recommendations might be made. As you can see, after we receive that feedback, the working groups go back to work briefly and quickly produce second drafts. Then the three of us who are speaking here, we are the writing committee, work with the steering committee to prepare the first draft of the self-study. And you will get to review that at the beginning of the fall semester. By the way, the steering committee needs student members. If you're interested, contact any one of the three of us speaking today, and we'll be happy to hear from you. So the evaluation team visit is only a year away. We appreciate your participation in this process. I'm going to turn the microphone over now to Tony Gonzalez, who will describe the expectations of the working groups and some of the recommendations they've put forward. Tony?
Okay. So last semester, or last spring, we had put together the members of the 8 working groups. And these here are the 7 standards in a kind of narrative sentence. A higher education institution has a mission, that's standard 1, and lives it with integrity, standard 2, to enhance the student learning experience, standard 3, and support the overall student experience, standard 4. That institution assesses its success achieving that mission, standard 5, and engages in planning to strengthen its resources and improve as an institution, standard 6, and by means of an effective governing process, standard 7. The 8th working group is looking at our compliance with federal standards, which is not part of the original 7 standards, but there is an 8th working group. So each working group was given charges, basically things that they needed to address, consider in preparing their reports. And as Steve mentioned, first drafts have already been made, which included some recommendations from each of the working groups. So where we are now is in a process of collecting feedback. All of these reports are available online, and Professor Chris Vickery will talk about how to do that online.
What you're looking at is a screenshot of the website, middlestates.qc.cuny.edu. And when you go there, you will be able to go to the reports, which are listed under the middle section there. It says February 1st, 2016, Working Group Reports. Click on one, it'll take it to you. The first page of each report gives you a summary of what the group was supposed to be doing, what their charge was, and then the report itself follows that. Now, these reports are set up so that anyone can make comments on them. And there are really two and a half, maybe three ways of making those comments. One way is that you can actually add comments to the reports themselves. These are copies of the reports. They're not the primary documents, so what you put in there is fine. If you go to the document, you'll find a link in the upper right-hand side that says comments. You select some text and you make a comment on it. Someone else can respond to it. So that's one form of commenting you can make. The other form is that you can read the report and send us email. And so our email addresses are in there. And the other halfway is that there's a general middlestates@qc.cuny.edu email address where you can send comments to us on that. We're looking for you to make comments that will help us to see gaps, that will help us to see material documentation that we might have missed, that the working groups might have missed, recommendations that you think should have been included. Those are the basic kinds of comments we're looking for. Don't bother to edit the documents in terms of style and so on. That's going to be taken care of when the tri-chairs set about our task of actually writing the report. So we're looking for matters of substance rather than form. At the bottom here is a link to the background material. There's a summary of all of the standards from the Middle States, and there is a copy of the design for our self-study that we presented to Middle States in June. One thing that I have to point out is that in order to access this material, you must be signed in using your Queen's College credentials. If you, all of this is hosted on Google Docs, and it's Google Docs for Queen's College, which means that it's set up so that only Queen's College students can access these documents. So I'm just going to state briefly how you do that, although there are instructions around there. The main thing, we have the next slide on that? The main thing is that you may get to this kind of a page. You go to a document and it says, request permission to access. That means you're signed in using some other account, a Gmail account or something else, into your web browser. And if you click that left blue button that says request access, I will get an email, and then I will send this back to you that says, whoops, don't do that, and don't put your hands on the keyboard when you're talking. If I can do this, I can get it back. Which says, switch accounts. And when you do switch accounts, what you do is you type in your Queen's College email address. If you're faculty, use the short form. So for example, my short form is C. Vickery. It's always first initial, last name, at qc.cuny.edu. And you will then be taken to a regular Queen's College, the one you get when you go to MyQC, where you put in your username and password. If you're a student, use your Qmail address, and that will take you to the same route. So that's the big thing that most people seem to get hung up on is, oh, it says to request access, and it's big and blue, and looks like you should click it. Don't play with the keyboard. Okay? So that's basically the lead-in for how we're asking you to respond to us. On February 29th, during free hour, Steve, do you want to do this? Or Okay, so there will be a town hall, an open meeting where you can come and make verbal comments. So there's the fourth way of responding to the reports. This is summarizing the things we're looking for in the reports. And I think that takes us to the point where if you have any questions, we'll be glad to take them.
Where's the town hall? President's asked him to Russell Fell Library. He asked him to go out shortly.
Well, I just wanted to make a short comment that, you know, Queens College used to require a laboratory science course, and now they do not. I think that's a disservice to our students, where other campuses have not accepted that. But at Queens College, we seem to have acquiesced to that.
So I'm very sympathetic as a physics professor. That's working group three. So log on and in the comment area for working group three, make the comment, please. And they may well include it in their report. And this is the website, if in case it went by too quickly. Just log into that website and you'll see that black screen right away. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, gentlemen. Next item also under administrative reports, we're going to be looking at the presentation from the new bookstore, Academus. So I'm going to invite Adam Rockman and Juliet. Julia, and you'll give us your first name.
So we have a presentation.
So I'd like the record to show that we had nothing to do with the mechanical issues here. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Adam Rockman. I'm Vice President for Student Affairs. And I had the pleasure of being the chair of the RFP committee for our new bookstore vendor. As you all probably know by now, our current bookstore vendor's contract it ends on March 31st. And through the state of New York RFP and procurement process, we identified Academus as our new bookstore vendor to start officially on April 1st. And as a planning for that turnover of power, as it were, we're doing kind of an informational tour of campus. We presented to P&B last week. We're presenting here today, and we're going to be presenting several town hall informational meetings for both students and faculty and staff over the coming weeks. With that, I would like to introduce Julie Kuljurgis, who is the account manager for Queens College with Academus.
Hi, I'm Julie Kuljurgis. Thank you all for letting me speak today about the online bookstore. I'm going to give a little bit of background about Academus and then show what the online bookstore will look like, go over some features and benefits for students, as well as some of the features for faculty. I'll address some common questions really quickly, and then we'll have a little bit of time for additional question and answer. So who is Academos? We were founded back in the early 2000s by Cornell professor Brian Jacobs as a response to the rising cost of textbooks, and also as a way to create additional resources for faculty to make the best textbook decisions that they can. So we've been doing a virtual, like a bookstore marketplace, and partnering with colleges since 2004. So we've had over a decade of website enhancements and improvements, and working with colleges to deliver a great experience. We work, you know, nationally with over 120 other schools, and including other CUNY schools, John Jay, Medgar Evers, and the CUNY School of Law. And we really, you know, aim to partner with institutions to make sure that we're serving students the best that we can, and that we're giving faculty a great experience as well in selecting and posting their materials. One of the benefits of our program with the CUNYs is that we have single sign-on capabilities so that students and faculty can use their CUNY First credentials to log into the bookstore site and see the courses that they're registered to take. So students would see all their courses, what the materials are, and faculty would see what they're assigned to teach and can update their courses that way. To date, we've saved CUNY students over $875,000. We're looking forward to that number growing every term. And one of the ways that we are able to, you know, save students money is by providing a lot of different options for purchasing materials. So even we're an online bookstore, but students primarily still buy physical books. We work directly with publishers, we work with wholesalers, we work with a textbook rental company, an ebook company. We also have our own marketplace, and that's basically a collection of vetted individual sellers. So it can be anything from a student selling back a book that they used last term to an independent bookstore selling books online as well. So that variety really gives students many options for what they'd like to purchase. So looking ahead, this is what the online bookstore homepage will look like, and the URL is qcbookstore.com. You can check it out today. We don't have, you know, the summer fall courses up yet because it's a little too early for that, but you can take a look at the website today if you'd like. So first, I'm going to show what the student experience would be like. So as I mentioned, students would be able to click login with their CUNY First credentials, and it would take them to the customized My Courses page. So you can see on the left side of the screen is where it would display all the courses that students are registered to take in CUNY First. And then in the middle, it would display the materials that have been posted by faculty, as well as all the available purchasing options. So as you can see, I was kind of talking about all the different options that we have. For example, this intro psych book, you know, brand new would be over $250, but we would have it used through the marketplace independent sellers and also available to rent for about $30. So the goal is to make it as easy as possible for students to log in to see what's required for their courses, and then to browse all available options and make the choice that suits them best. Some benefits of shopping for students, we just went over the My Courses page to make it quick and convenient to compare and shop. The variety of formats. We do have a few different shipping offers, so purchases over $49, anything that's not from the marketplace, qualifies for free economy shipping, and we'll also be designating a spot on campus that students can have their orders from us shipped to Queens so they can pick up on campus for extra convenience. We do get a lot of questions about shipping time, so on average, shipping, we do have a variety of different formats and shipping speeds that students can choose. So, but I would say typically, on average, is between 3 and 5 business days for standard shipping. The site is optimized for mobile, so any mobile phone, any tablet, any device, the site works just as well as it would on a desktop or other computer, so it's easy to use anywhere. And another feature of the marketplace, like I said, is that students can sell their books back to other Queens students, to anyone basically using us nationally, so it provides a good outlet for selling books back at a better value. For faculty, we're just going to take a quick look at what faculty would be doing, but faculty would also be able to log in with their CUNY First credentials, and then they'd be able to go through the process of adding their materials by just adding the ISBN or the title of the book. The system would remember previous term information, so if faculty are using the same book this spring that they used last fall, they'd be able to just quickly select that and add it to the course. Faculty can also see a preview. While they're adding their book, they can see a preview in the browser of what will be displayed for students, and they'll also get a direct link to the purchasing page for their course so that they can easily share that with students as well. Another service that we offer to faculty that's pretty popular is the course pack creation service. So if faculty only use certain chapters from a textbook or they have their own original material they want to use for a course, we work with a company that will help price out the rights and permissions for the portions that want to be used, provide a sample desk copy for review, and then if it's approved and faculty want to use it, we would just be able to post it, print on demand as students purchase it. So it's a pretty good option. A lot of science courses use it for the lab manuals because it's a really cheap option to get students those lab manuals. We talked a little bit about shipping, but some other common questions are about returns. So we do accept returns. Anything coming from us is returnable within 30 days of your purchase. Rentals are returnable within 21 days. E-books, you can even return them as long as you haven't accessed more than 20% of the book in those first few weeks. So if you get an e-book but you decide you would rather have a physical book or you take a different class, you can even return those as well. In addition to marketplace buyback, posting your book, we also partner with a company to do on-campus buyback for cash, so that usually happens at the end of each term. We have a dedicated customer service line just for the CUNY schools, so there's representatives there on the phone, 9 to 5, with additional hours on Saturday during the start of the semester. And you can also email for help as well. And, like I said, since the site is already the basic site is already posted. All of our policies and frequently asked questions and those resources are up. So if, after this presentation, if you have additional questions or there's something else you want to look up, you can go to qcbookstore.com and just click help on top and go through basically all the other information there. But that said, with me here, are there any other questions? Yeah, I don't know the best way to...
Hi, nice presentation. Dean Savage, College-wide at large. Saving $875,000. What percentage savings does that translate to?
That's a good question. So the savings number is calculated as in terms of what students actually paid versus what the publisher list price is. We've found that, per student, students save about $100 at least per semester, if you do the average savings per student.
Now, it strikes me also that if you actually became the vendor that everybody used, you'd be in a position to answer one of the questions that I've never been able to get an answer for, and that is, what fraction of the students in my class have actually got the book?
that varies. I think, it depends. A lot of surveys that we've done, every semester we'll do certain student surveys to ask about, what we can improve and who actually buys their books or where they buy them from, rather. And we found that students will say we've had responses up to about 50% of students who answered our survey will say that they did not buy a book for at least one class.
Okay, so. Thank you.
Laura Silverman, Academic Advising. Since you're pulling the information from CUNY First, what is the turnaround time?
For when books are available?
Well, for the information. So a student registers for a course. Mm-hmm. What is the turnaround time from CUNY First into this system?
It's 24 hours, so we get up to 24 hours. So we get a refresh of the information early every morning from CUNY Central. So if a student registers, in the afternoon one day, then they won't see it when they do the single sign-on, a few hours later, but they'll see it that next morning. that brings up another point that I should clarify is that even though students can log in with their CUNY First to see that customized list, they can access any of the courses and listings without signing in. So they could still browse, you know, they registered, they want to look up what Psych 101 is. They could still just go to the homepage and type in the professor name or the section name and select the materials and check out like that.
Okay, so without having yet registered for that course, they can be exploratory and take a look.
Correct.
Okay. And when you say 24 hours, is it business days or does this count over the weekend as well?
Weekends too.
Weekends as well. Second question, given the feed is from CUNY First, is there any personal identifying information other than the courses coming about the student?
Everything is like compliant with, like there's no like safety. We don't do anything with the personal info.
Thank you.
Alan Ludman, Earth and Environmental Sciences, and a W.W. Norton author.
Oh, great.
A couple of questions. Number one, lab manual.
Yes.
We insist that the students only purchase new lab manuals.
Right.
It's possible for students to bundle lab manuals sometimes with a new textbook. Right now, they have the option of doing that or not doing that. How will that work with your company? Because the lab manual is half price if you buy it with a textbook. It's full price if you don't.
Right. So we work with publishers all the time in terms of bundles and packaging. That's sort of one half of the question. So if there are custom packages in use or bundles like that that you're saying need to be purchased new only, we're happy to post all those different options. If you were to go with our course pack service for the lab manuals, that would be we probably wouldn't be able to bundle it in that same way, but could still post it separately.
I'm currently, for a class, doing a custom publish of my lab manual,
right,
which will use 7 chapters, but the minimum my company will charge is $40.
Is it all your material? Is it
all my material. I mean, they're copyright my material.
Oh, then I'd highly encourage you to send it over to me because typically if there's no royalty or other fees involved, then really it's just charging for the printing. So some of the John Jay Lab manuals, I have to check the page count, but they retail for about $4.
Another question. If there's going to be a one-week delay, essentially, a student signs up for class the day before it begins, I can't count on that having either a textbook or a lab manual for the first week. Is that correct?
Potentially. So, I mean, that's kind of the average sort of conservative shipping average. Things like the lab manual or any custom books or anything new coming from, we have a warehouse in Pennsylvania, so a lot of times books are delivered to the New York area, standard shipping, a business day or 2 business days. We do have options for overnight and express shipping, so I know that it's not, you know, it's a little bit more money, but we do have expedited options.
Ron Rothenberg, Math. About a week before the spring semester started, I went over to the bookstore to check on books on the shelf for my courses, as I always do. I found out from Joey, the book manager, that he said, tell your students that if they want to return books, they should return them before the end of February. I said, why is that, Joey? He said, well, the bookstore is closing. I said, why is that, Joey? He said, well, the administration decided to go to another bookstore. Since then, I learned that the end date was pushed ahead in time to the end of March. I have several issues and questions. I think that something as important to faculty and students as a college bookstore should have been discussed by faculty and students in an organization such as the Academic Senate before such a decision to go over to something as radical as an online bookstore would be made. I think that input from faculty and students would have been very, very appropriate. Also, I have objections to a tangible bookstore being replaced by an online bookstore. One of my minimal objections is that the old bookstore run by Follett in this most recently, employed a lot of students. They made a little money on the side. And I like to go over to the bookstore and deal with students. I won't be able to do that now. Again, so now, oh, another thing they did at the bookstore, they provided caps and gowns for commencement. I wonder how that'll be done now. At any rate, the key point is this should not, and also, the bookstore should not have been closed at the end of March. Okay, it's better than the end of February. It should have been done at the very earliest by June. In other words, at the end of the semester. This closing the bookstore at the end of March provides for a very, very awkward situation for students and faculty.
Hi, is this working now? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So Catherine Profeta from Drama Theater Dance. I have a quick question, and if you can just refer to me where this might be online, you wouldn't need to answer it in full. But I'm curious about creating course packs for courses in the humanities and how many copyright issues come up, and whether if you have out-of-print material, if you can supply it as PDFs or something like that, mm-hmm. how does that all work, or where would you direct me?
Sure. So in general, with the course packs and rights and permissions, getting the rights and permissions cleared can take anywhere from 2 weeks to 4 to 6 weeks on the long end. Usually it doesn't take that long, but it can sometimes take that long, so it's good to sort of have that buffer time in between. Out of print or older editions are usually pretty accessible for the rights and permissions. As far as if the rights allow for electronic delivery or PDFs, then we can provide that as well. Mm-hmm. Right now the course pack builder is part of the faculty login, but I can either if you wanted to send me a list of what you were looking at, we could do that together. Or I could put in a preliminary order.
I guess the biggest question is, does it become prohibitively expensive if you have a lot of sources?
It can. So far, the only issues that I've seen in examples at CUNY so far have been with some of the CUNY law requests, just because they're usually pretty new legal cases that are more restrictive. But anytime, there will be a breakdown per each permission piece, so if one is too expensive, then that can just be taken out and the rest can be kept.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, Erica Davis, Deputy Chair of the Academic Senate. My question may be more representative of the student perspective, but I know that our current brick and mortar bookstore offers discounted school supplies and mm-hmm. Queens College merchandise. I was wondering if those offerings would still be available via the online marketplace.
So we do have school supplies like notebooks, pens, and all that kind of stuff that students can shop for. Right now there's, sort of no kind of standard student discount code, but if there are, discounts available, those will be listed for school supplies. In terms of school merchandise or caps and gowns and other stuff, I believe that's being handled by a different online, either a different vendor or store. So I guess we won't have any Queens College branded merchandise, but we'll have school supplies.
So essentially it would be no longer a one-stop shop?
I guess essentially no. It wouldn't include the branded merchandise.
Thank you, Julie. Just a brief note about some of the issues that were raised a few moments ago. We made a conscious decision to start the contract, on April 1st, and we made that decision after a lot of back and forth and a lot of discussion. One being how long Follett was willing to extend their contract, knowing that it was ending, and also how it would be. The hope was that it would be the least jarring as you mentioned. What we considered was starting on April 1st would mean that Follett would sell the textbooks and faculty and staff would order their textbooks for the spring semester. And then on April 1st, it would turn over to Academos, who would then do the process for summer, fall, and moving forward. Regarding how the process for the RFP, the procurement process worked, there are very strict guidelines on the New York State procurement, and we follow those to the letter, I'm happy to say. And that process did include equal numbers of faculty, students, and administrators, so to make sure there was equal representation. The other thing about being able to go to the bookstore, that will not be the case now for textbooks, but we are also in the process of doing a procurement process, an RFP process, for a campus store, which will sell QC-branded merchandise and other items. They will just not sell textbooks. So hopefully that addresses some of the concerns.
It does, but not too much. My biggest concern, this is what I started with, is that an issue like this, a college bookstore, the decision should not be made merely by the administration. You say you consulted a few faculty and students. I didn't even hear about this until about a week before the semester started when I spoke to Joey, the book manager. It's totally inappropriate for the administration to make this decision without having gotten approval by a body such as the Academic Senate and also the Student Association. You shouldn't have done it. It's wrong. It's a bad thing to do. It sets a terrible precedent.
No, you're absolutely right, and that might be an issue for some students. I think one of the things, I don't know if you mentioned it, Julie, is that the delivery for orders, I think you said is what, 5 days or something like that, is generally?
Yeah.
But students have the option of selecting expedited delivery, and they can have it, I think, next day or 2 days.
The delivery time, and so you know that was a big part of why we wanted to be very active this semester in speaking to faculty, speaking to students, so that you know everyone was well aware of just the transition. You know, we found that you know after a semester or two, some of the buying habits have changed at John Jay and Medgar Evers, where students you know are more accustomed and aware and ordering in advance. And a lot of it just you know even though students do have that first day of class mindset a lot of the time. But oftentimes, you know, faculty, if they're reaching out, like you say, you're very, like to encourage them to be prepared, you know, saying to students, you need to come to class, you need to order now. We market to students, you know, at least starting 4 weeks in advance of the start of class to try and put that message out there also.
Thank you. Well, registration is significant during, you know, certainly the week before school, the week that school begins. Would your company consider a pop-up shop for that duration of time so that the receiving of books can be expedited?
In terms of stocking certain like books ahead of time?
Correct.
Or, I believe that is that was not part of the contract in terms of pre-stocking and distributing books in that way. But of course, you know, students can place orders before classes start, and they'd be held on campus to be picked up that way.
Okay, and I have a part B to my question. For those students who did purchase their books through the current bookstore, what will happen to them in terms of returns and buybacks?
We'll be having the physical buyback for cash at the end of the spring semester, since we'll be taking over in April. So there will be an opportunity for students to drop off their to do a cash buyback on campus. They can also post any of their books from Follett or otherwise on the marketplace if they get a better value that way.
Thank you.
My question is just about the timeline for the on-campus pickup option. Is it that same general 3 to 5 day window for non-expedited shipping?
I believe it should be. I don't think there should be any holdup on the mailroom side, but.
Okay.
Or.
Thank you very much.
Adam, just a note. The process for the selection of the vendor has been done in the same way it's been done in the past. So there's been no new precedent in the way that this process was done. If there are suggestions as to additional consultation that should occur, we're open to that. But the process that was used to select the vendor was exactly the same process that was used in the past. If people are not happy with that, that's obviously open to suggestion, but I just want to make sure that people know that there was no precedent. This was being used the same way that the last bookstore vendor was selected. I just want to clarify that.
May I just say, I think there is a difference here. The old bookstores, the former old bookstores that we had here, were not online bookstores. They were tangible bookstores. This is a major difference. This is a major change. And such a major change, considering such a major change, should have been something that was done with advice and consent by bodies such as the Academic Senate and the Student Association.
Okay, Julie Kiljurgis from Academos, thank you very much for coming. Adam, thank you for bringing her. Let's go on. There is no item 4 special motions, so let's go on to item number 5, committee reports. Undergraduate Curriculum Committee, December 10th.
I'd like to move the minutes of the December 10th Undergraduate Curriculum Committee meeting and move unanimous consent.
Stephen Grover, philosophy. I'm not quibbling. I just would like to remove the reference to the New York Times on page 2 at the top. So the second sentence of the new rubric for Arts 333 says this, open quotation, social practice art, close quotation, as the New York Times describes it. And I would just like to strike the quotation marks, including the comma after art, and the whole clause, as the New York Times describes it. So the sentence would just read, this social practice art, not in any kind of quotation marks, just as it isn't in the justification, seeks to bring about Posenson. I don't see there's any reason at all to mention the New York Times in our bulletin.
You take that as editorial.
Okay, that would be an editorial change. Any further comments? Can you move
unanimous
consent? Any objections to unanimous consent? Okay, motion carries.
Thank
Next
you.
Item, Graduate Curriculum Committee minutes, December 16th, 2015.
I request that the Senate approve the Graduate Curriculum Committee minutes dated December 16, 2015. Move unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing none, then, motion passes. Any objections? Seeing none then, the motion carries. Next committee up is the nominating committee report dated February 18th.
Hi, I'm Sarah Wolf on behalf of Marion Fish, who... Nominee, I guess. Ping Lee from Social Sciences. Jeff Moskowski for the at-large position of the undergrad curriculum committee.
Okay, any objections to unanimous consent? Seeing none then, motion carries. There is no old business under new business. We have the report of the subcommittee on honorary degrees. We'll chair Susan Rotenberg.
Yes, I'm chair of that subcommittee. And the last time I stood before you was in December, where we got the approval to for two nominated people for commencement to receive honorary degrees in. Can you hear me? Okay. So in December, we put forth a couple of names for potential honorary degree recipients for this spring. They declined for this year because they have busy schedules. So we're putting forth another name, a very distinguished gentleman by the name of Darren Walker. And he has also been asked to be our 2016 commencement speaker. So we seized the opportunity, because of his biography, which I'll read to you in a second, to ask you to consider him to be we're submitting his name for an honorary degree for this spring while he's here. So Mr. Walker heads the nation's second largest philanthropic organization, the Ford Foundation. For two decades, he has been a leader in the nonprofit and philanthropic sectors, working on an array of social justice issues, including education, human rights, urban development, and free expression. Mr. Walker's humble beginnings, having been raised by a single mother in Ames and later Goose Creek, Texas, have continually informed and inspired his academic and career choices. His personal and professional trajectory exemplifies Queens College's motto of the critical link that must be forged between our own intellectual pursuits and the human causes in need of advancement in our world. Prior to being at the Ford Foundation, Mr. Walker had a decade-long career in international law and finance at Cleary, Gottlieb, Steen, and Hamilton, and as chief operating officer of Harlem's leading community development organization, the Abyssinium Abyssinian Development Corporation. He oversaw development of over 1,000 new units of low-income housing and Harlem's first commercial development in 20 years. He is a member of the boards of the Carnegie Hall, New York City Ballet, the High Line, and the Arcus Foundation. He is also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, the American Academy of Arts and Sciences, and the recipient of several honorary degrees. He has received the Distinguished Alumnus Award, the highest honor given by his alma mater, the University of Texas at Austin. He graduated from UT at Austin in 1982 with a Bachelor of Arts in Government and a Bachelor of Science in Speech Communication. In 1986, he graduated from the University of Texas School of Law with a Juris Doctor. So I'm submitting the name of Darren Walker for your consideration to be a recipient of our honorary degree in the spring.
This was
unanimous consent. Any objections? Seeing none, then the motion carries. Everyone hear that motion to adjourn? Okay.
With no.